Sheriff Mike, would you have about 5 minutes for me this morning on what we talked about? I do want to make this announcement first. You heard of the house that was found out in Reedley, California, of all places, just hidden out of an abandoned home. And there were some things there. It was actually a lab that China had set up there. It's just a creepy, creepy thing that happened. And so there's so much for us to pray about. We'll be going into a fast and prayer in January. But I've asked the sheriff if he could come today and speak to us for a few minutes, because he knows what we don't know, and he can't tell all that he knows, but he can sure share some things with us. Because, you know, some of you say, oh, I just don't watch the news. Well, you know, you should now and then, just to know what's going on. So in case you don't, and you think everything is sweet just like it is at your house or in your church, let us have a little awakening here and show us where we ought to pray. Would you come? Come on and give the Sheriff Mike Boudreaux a big welcome this morning. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see everyone. Yeah. I always like talking because it usually starts with a round of applause. So I just have a few minutes. Pastor asked me to speak. You know, as your sheriff, my responsibility is public safety, but not only here locally, but up and down the state of California and actually across the country. I work with sheriffs all across the country. There's elected sheriffs who are working very hard for their communities just like I am. But I felt that one of the things that I should be doing is going down to the border to visit. And I've done that a couple times now. One time I actually visited with Donald Trump when he was in office down on the border, and I got pretty well attacked for that, being called a racist. And then I received a lot of attack. But the reality of it is I wanted to get down there to see exactly what's going on. The news is not giving you accurate data, and I can tell you, and I'll go a little bit into that. And the news, really, you need to be questioning everything that you hear. Everything that you see on the news, you need to question, including Fox News. There's information sometimes they put out that I look at it, and I just can't believe it, because I receive intelligence reports. I receive intelligence reports here locally, federally, and across the country, and there's some things that I just can't talk about. But I want you to know, and I think that I'm comfortable in saying, look, folks, America's under attack. It really is under attack. And we have people here who want to kill us. And I tell that because I know it's very shocking to the senses, and we feel very comfortable in our homes, and we feel very comfortable in the Central Valley. And thank goodness we do live in the Central Valley.
Yeah, for sure.
Because we have a lot of, I consider the Central Valley the God Belt of California. I mean, I really do. But there's Christians all over California who are fighting for us, and I'll tell you that I think that we've been fooled into believing that California is set aside and separate from anything that the rest of the country has. It's not. You know, California, I go up and down California all the time, and I meet with people just like you who have the same concerns and the same worries, and it has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with status. It has nothing to do with anything other than we want to be safe in our churches and worship freely. We want our children to receive an education. We want our parks to be safe. We want to be able to afford gas and food. And everyone up and down the state believes that. But understand this. So I went down to the border. I spent 3 days there along Chula Vista and Tijuana. We were in a Black Hawk helicopter. We flew over different parts. There is a wall down there near Chula Vista and Tijuana. But I didn't know this. Did you guys know that Tijuana has 2 million people? I had no idea. There's 2 million people that live in Tijuana. And there's some good people there. And there's some Christian things that are happening in Tijuana. But I can also tell you there's some ugliness that is taking place that's coming back and forth from that open border. And we feel this, and I've been preaching it for the last 4 years, 5 years, saying that we need to secure our border. And many people say, well, Sheriff, what does that actually mean? What it means is we have to have more control over what's coming into the United States. It has nothing to do with the Mexican people. Many of us think that, you know, the open border represents the Mexican people. It doesn't. This is what I said on a newscast just recently. I said, listen, what I'm getting ready to tell you, the general media is not saying. And I said, you do realize that Mexico is our ally. Mexico is not our enemy. Mexico, we have worked with for years, and the Mexican people we have worked with for years, and Mexico is an ally. And when I said that, the news reporter said, well, what exactly do you mean by that? I said, Syria, Yemen, countries of that sort are our enemy. Hamas is our enemy. We are seen as the big Satan. America is seen as the big Satan. Israel is the little Satan. This is information coming in intelligence reports that you very rarely will hear on the news. What they have said, Hamas, Hezbollah, and others have said, when they have eliminated Israel, they're coming for America next. That is in every intelligence report that I have read. So when you talk about who's here already and you see people protesting in the streets to free the Palestinians, who's standing up for Israel? And we have to stand up for Israel. And so I preach that up and down the state of California. I preach it here locally, and it's very well received, but that's not what the news reports. Do you know that there are thousands of college students that are breaking out in revival and supporting Israel, but that is not reported? We get that information to watch where they feel that protests for Israel may erupt in violence. But that's not what's going to take place. So Mexico, when you hear the numbers and we talk about people coming from Mexico in here illegally, well, California's dealt with that for years. So of the 8,000 to 10,000 people who come across the border every day, we had 2.5 million people come across the border. Of the 2.5 million people, the people from Mexico represented 2%. 2%. But what does the news narrative show? All of us would feel that we're overwhelmed by the Mexican population. It's not true. 2%. That data even shocked me. Of course, we have cartel. Of course, we have human trafficking. I'll get into that just a little bit. Keep me on the five-minute timeline, Pastor, because I'll go on for a couple hours. Because am I already there, sweetie? All right, I'm already there. So we'll start wrapping up. But understand that what is coming across that border are people who are here to harm us. And when I spoke to Border Patrol and Homeland Security for 3 days, I was down there, and the information I was receiving, it was incredibly shocking. You hear the reports of 18 to 25-year-old men in good health. Army recruit-looking young men from all over the world. But only 2% are coming from Mexico. The human trafficking, you have 11-year-old girls who are being sexually abused multiple times over and over and over by multiple suspects. That's taking place on a daily basis. Young boys as well. What's coming into our country right now and what we have to pray for and pray against, because God's with us. He hasn't forgotten us, right? But he hears our prayers. There are people here already to harm us. There are sleeper cells all over the country. And so you talk about Reedley. We have people coming in from China, Yemen, Syria, Russia. These are our enemies who have infiltrated the United States. They're here already. God knows that already, though. But that lab in China, the reports that we're getting out of that lab, it goes far deeper than what the news is telling us. That lab is designed to infiltrate the Central Valley and others of the United States to do the same as they did during the COVID outbreak. And that's what they were developing. And there's things coming out of that report that are shocking to the senses that we can't even really go into. It violates a lot of different things that I'd be able to reveal. But understand this. Don't focus on the Mexican people coming across here illegally. Those are our allies, and we have a lot of people here in this audience as well as friends of mine who are here in California to do no harm. But there are people from other countries that are here and already here in mass groups that are here to hurt us. And so I'll wrap that up. 5 minutes is not a long enough time because I could go into a lot of different things. But understand this, your prayers work. When you pray and you have people like me and Shannon Grove and others in elected positions, we fight. And we have doors that open up because of your prayers. We have doors that close because of your prayers. There are masses that I have spoken to without God I would have never been in front of. But we have a mass of people who are fighting Christians who believe that God's in control, and I believe that to be true. And I don't tell you these stories to put fear into your heart, because that's of the enemy. That's to put the shield up and fight like warriors to come against what we're doing. So be the warrior. God wins. Pastor, God bless.
Oh, my goodness. So necessary. So horrifying. So real, folks. So real. Thank you so much, Brother Mike. I appreciate it so much. This morning, this is going to tie right in with what I want to tell you. I want you to turn your Bibles over to Isaiah 27. I didn't get that to you, Gabby, but let's do Isaiah 27. And then we will just go back to the book of Job, which is just before Psalms. So we will go to Job chapter 41, but let us take a look here at Isaiah 27. Oh, about verses 1. I'll just start reading here after I get turned on here. I just want us to settle, just settle down in God's vineyards. Lord knows that, in fact, Jesus said that we are in the world, but we are not a part of it. So if we're not a part of it, then we must be a part of something else. And we are a part of the kingdom of God. And God has built us a vineyard to live in and to live out of. Adam and Eve had a garden, but the Bible says we have a vineyard. So I want to take you to the vineyard this morning, Brother Rick. We will call this, call it settle in God's vineyard. All right, let's read Isaiah 27, starting at verse 1. In that day, the Lord with his severe sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent. Leviathan, that twisted serpent. And he will slay the reptile that is in the sea. So let's just stop right there and talk about that Leviathan. Over the years, it's always fascinated me, that story. And yet when you have a word like Leviathan, there were so many takes on who that is, what that was, and what a Leviathan was. And you've heard over the years that it was probably a crocodile, an alligator. Many have said because, we'll read over it, Job, in just a minute, because God questions Job. Job was telling God how good he was, and he had gone through all of this stuff, and God says, Job, I need you to come over here and talk to me, and let me ask you a question. And I will ask you, and then he starts asking him, could you control the Leviathan? Could you? Could you do that? So we'll read that in a minute. But let's just go back to this. It says, the Lord with his sword, and our sword is what? The word of God, we sung about it. With his sword, which must be the two-edged sword. But see, this is our sword that comes out of our mouth. But it was the same word, and the word that came out of God's mouth in the beginning was his own son. The Son of God was in him. And when God said, let there be light, the word came out of his mouth and it was his literal son. And the son was the creator. And so here you have this two-edged sword, the word of God coming out of God's mouth. And it did everything that Adam and Eve saw and everything that we have here today. So he says that God will punish that Leviathan, that fleeing serpent. Let me interrupt myself right here and tell you about Hebrews. What the Hebrews says. It's hard to read something like this and not go back into the word. But the book of Hebrews, when it talks about the fleeing serpent, it also talks about it. And the book of James, the brother of our Lord, he said, commit yourself to God and resist the devil, and he will do what? Flee. But if we're not careful in this hour and in our lives, when we get in a mess or we get in a difficult time, you know what happens? What happens to us is we will resist God and commit ourselves to the lies of the devil. Now, we can't commit to him or he won't flee. Okay, so we commit ourselves to God, resist the devil. Don't resist God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Now, Dee, I need you to come up here and fix this because I have the sheriff speaking on my computer. You sent me something, and I just, how do I get out of that? I accepted it instead of decline. You airdropped it. Sorry, we're going to airdrop you out so I can get in. Okay, now I got to go back and see. I'm sure glad I have that, though, Dee. Thank you. Here we go. That's good. No fits. So don't resist God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. So let's go back and read it again, verse 27. And it is just like God. He expects us to act in his same ways. And he acted like this. In that day, the Lord with his great sword, that two-edged sword, and great and strong, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent. In other words, when he sees God coming, guess what? He's running away. He's fleeing. And God said, that's exactly what I want you to do. I want you to have the floor when that Leviathan comes against you. I want you to commit yourself to me, and he should be running away every time he sees the people of God coming toward him. All right, so it's a given. God will punish the Leviathan. The Leviathan, look at this, that twisted. Somebody say twisted. That twisted serpent, and he will slay the reptile that is in the sea. So, because we see there this reptile that is in the sea, then many think it was a sea creature. The Leviathan was a literal sea creature or a sea monster that we hear so much about. So it could have been a crocodile. Now, let's turn over to Job chapter 41. Remember, just before Psalms. Job 41. And I think that the reason a lot of people compare it, and I look at this, and I compare it to a dragon or a dinosaur in its day, way, way, way back. It kind of looks like, according to this word, the way God spoke about the Leviathan to Job when he was questioning him, looks like it could have been a dinosaur or a dragon. He said, I don't believe in dragons. Well, let's look. Okay, I can't read this all, but you all need to read this when you get home. If you're not familiar with this chapter 41 in Job, you need to read it. Please don't read it right now, because it just messes me up when you're reading while I'm reading or I'm talking. So, please. Okay, so God says to Mr. Job, who was a mighty man of God, by the way. He was pure in every way. But the devil came against him, the Leviathan. Let's chapter 41, verse 1. God says to Job, can you draw out the Leviathan with a hook? Job, I just want to ask you, can you go fishing and reel this Leviathan in? Or snare his tongue with a line which you lower? Can you put a reed through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? All right, just let me go on down to about verse 8. He says, Job, you lay your hand on him. You'll remember the battle. Never do it again. You'll never forget that battle. Don't get in the water with him. All right. Look at verse 14. Oh, who can open the doors of his face, meaning the monster's mouth? Who can open the doors of his face with his terrible teeth all around? And then it tells you how tightly his teeth are to each other. All right, look at verse 18. Here's why I'm thinking it could be, no, it's not my original thought, you know, could be some of the other people's thoughts as well. Verse 18, his sneezings flash forth light, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth goes burning lights. Sparks of fire, look at this, sparks of fire shoot out. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke goes out of his nostrils as from a boiling pot and burning rushes. His breath kindles coals and a flame goes out of his mouth. Strength dwells in his neck. So I think that might eliminate the sea monster. Either take it back to the dragon or the crocodile or the alligator or maybe the dragon. I don't know. All right, let's look at verse 26. Though the sword reaches him, if you shoot him, Job, with a sword, though the sword reaches him, it can't avail. Nor does a spear, a dart, or a javelin. He regards that iron as straw, and bronze is as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones become like stubble to him. Darts are regarded as straw. And he laughs at javelins. Look at verse 33. On earth there is nothing like him. God is saying this. Not one of God's fans. God himself. On earth there is nothing like him, which is made without fear. He beholds every high thing. He is king. Look at this. He is king over all the children of pride. So if you get, and the spiritual Leviathan is on the earth today, he comes after prideful people. And we've all got a touch of it. So we got to pay attention, and we know when he's around, and I'll tell you why. So let's go back. You just look at that at home. That'll be your homework. And you take a look at that and see what you think. But I think according to what I just told you, you can see why there's so much speculation about who he might be. Now, we know that a crocodile, let's just go there, it kind of sounded like him when it talked about his back had such scales and they were so close together and they were so strong that nothing could penetrate, not even a javelin or a sword. You know, nothing really bothered this thing. But we know that a crocodile, an alligator, squeezes its prey. And when it gets something in this mouth, and we see these things on TV. You've seen those geographic, what do they call that, documentaries, where the alligator gets something in its mouth, and then it just shakes it and tears it apart. I mean, it's just torn apart by the time that thing is through with it. And so it just squeezes it. And when it does that, then it squeezes the life out of its prey and then eats it. What did the Bible tell us again about that roaring lion comes to seek whom he might do what to? Devour. Which wants to take you all out. Just let me take you out. And I want to take the God you serve out with you. Well, that's never going to happen. But I'll tell you this about this crocodile. Yeah, he squeezes his prey. He devours them. He's got one definition said he's got a big mouth and a long tail. A big mouth and a long tail. And when he does that, look at this. The Bible called him, the latter part of verse 1, the Leviathan, that twisted serpent. Calls him a twisted serpent. I looked up the word twisted. It means perverted, warped, depraved, corrupt, forced out of its natural or proper shape. And by the time the Leviathan grabs a hold of its prey, tears at it, shakes it, tries to devour it, it forces that person or that thing out of its natural shape, out of its proper shape. And church, what our sheriff just told us, the Leviathan is loose on this earth. We can call it the spirit of the Antichrist. We can call it what the book of Revelation called him. He said in the last day, that serpent, that snake, that old dragon, it called him that old dragon, that serpent, that snake, that one day, he says, here's what it says. He stands back, waiting for the child to be born so he can devour it. He did that to Moses and he did it to Jesus. And that was way back when. He stood there to devour Moses. It didn't happen because God's hand was on Moses. He stood there to devour Jesus. Didn't happen because God had a plan and God was in him. Now, he stands here now. Why is he hitting so hard right now? Because we know the child is about ready to be given birth to again. The church is going to rise up in such mighty power, greater power. We're going out of here in greater power than we were birthed in the upper room. Amen, church? So this demonic activity stands back, just waiting, and just trying to do all this evil stuff to tear us up, tear you down, steal and rob and take down, kill, steal and destroy, everything he can. Because he's standing back wanting to devour that child before it comes. And if he can loose everything that he's loose right now, he has put such a squeeze on America, it's absolutely unbelievable. And that's almost, to use that word, almost a no cliche. It is unbelievable. But let me show you this. God said himself, there was nothing on earth that could tame this thing. But look at the last line, or two lines of verse 27, verse 1. Leviathan, that twisted serpent, and he, God, capital H, he will slay the reptile that is in the sea. Okay? No question about it. God says, I'm it. I will tear at him. I will slay him with my two-edged sword and my mighty power and my strength. God is the only one that can slay this evil reptile in the sea. Amen. Now we're talking about a sea of what? We're talking about a sea of people on this earth. He said, man, this is a sea of people on the globe. Okay, Satan came through COVID. Same thing you mentioned, the little lab out there in Reedley. I just heard it this morning on Maria Bartiromo. That little lab, they said when they went in there, those men had on white coats, lab coats. You probably heard this without a doubt. There was not a congressman. It was somebody in Law and Order, somebody in the leadership. Anyway, they drove by and they see a pipe sticking out of that little house. They reported it to the FBI. They reported it to, that didn't do one bit of good, so don't clap yet. Not one. FBI didn't do a thing. They reported it to CIA. They didn't do anything. The congressman got involved, finally got some law enforcement involved. They start looking in. They go in and they find these guys in white lab coats. And this man had escaped China. He had a $300 million lawsuit against him for some land deal. So he comes to America because he knows they can get in right now because things are not going well at the top. And so this man came in, gets that little abandoned house out there in Reedley, of all places, and he's shopping online, and I forget what you call. You go online and they could buy disease in a bottle. Starts with a P. Anyway, he goes in and he's purchased three things. He's purchased bacteria, or the virus tuberculosis. I shouldn't try to go by memory. Grab my phone real quick. Man, I wish I had your memory. It just pops like that. What's that? Herpes? Tuberculosis? Did you get my phone? TB? Yeah. Let's see. I thought, now, you know what? I'm not going to bring that up at church, but I thought, I know good and well I will. Start trying to talk about it. Well, obviously I didn't put it in the right place. So there you go. Anyway, There was some stuff in there that shouldn't have been there, some high-powered stuff. And what were they going to do? They were going to try to loose it in California. And isn't it amazing? The sheriff just told us that we are blessed to live in this valley. San Joaquin Valley, one who loves God, one who prays. One time he told me there were probably more intercessors in our valley than any place in California. You ought to give God a clap for that. So the news reporter was saying earlier, why in the world this little place in California? Why didn't he go to L.A. or San Francisco? And when I heard you say that, I thought, well, that's why he came, because we're godly here. We love God. So Satan, that Leviathan, said, let me squeeze some life out of them. Let me just squeeze them up real good. Years ago, Jensen Franklin taught a message about the spirit of the python. I think it was way ahead of its time. Wayne Neal came here, and Wayne preached the spirit of the python. I said, Wayne, that message, one of the greatest messages I've ever heard. He said, got it from Jensen Franklin. Well, everyone was preaching it, and it was about this Leviathan that just squeezes the life out of things, like a python snake. So it is the spirit of the python that wants to squeeze out. So God says, well, let me deal with him. I'm the one that can. And if God did it then, guess what? He's going to do it again. He's just going to. He saved Moses. He saved Jesus. He saved people in the flood with Noah. He saved Lot. He's going to save us, church. So, you hold on. God did it. He does it. And he's still going to do it. In fact, he wraps it up in the book of Revelation, and he takes care of the whole thing. He's just not a little passive standby person, a little passive observer that says, now I'll let this thing go. Let me just run down a few things here. You could add to, if you had the floor, you could say much more than me with this. But this beast, this Leviathan, the spirit of the Antichrist, this horrible beast that in years gone by, this animal, this two- or four-legged animal, whatever it was, it tormented Babylon. That's where all the mess came out of. Still does. That's Iraq now. But it's also where the Garden of Eden was. So, still coming out of there. Scared Assyria, scared Babylon, Egypt. They were terrified of this animal. But at least they could see him, but no one could tame him. We can't see him. We can't see him. But you know what? We feel him. You can feel him trying to squeeze the life out of your marriage, out of your family. You can feel that, church. Listen to this. He's wrapped himself around the soul of this nation. He's really trying to, and he has done some of it. He's squeezing anything that's holy. He's trying to squeeze anything that's holy or godlike. He's trying to squeeze all the life out of it. He squeezed prayer. I did put down first, he squeezed prayer out of the public school. Yeah, but now see, now that he did that, now it's bigger. Now he has squeezed prayer out of public places. Tim Tebow is history now, but he got pitched off the NFL. Why? Because he prayed on the field. That was a bad deal. Now I just also heard that they put a demonic, satanic Christmas tree up in a new museum out in Wisconsin. There was a beautiful Christmas tree celebrating Christmas and the birth of Jesus. So then the Satanists said, hey, we want one too. So the mayor allowed them to put a satanic tree there. So anything that's holy, he said, hey, I get my part in this too. So, just let me squeeze prayer out of public, out of schools. And then it went farther. He has squeezed prayer life out of churches. He squeezes prayer out of church. If I call a prayer meeting tomorrow night, there will be about 10 people here, if we're lucky. He squeezes it out of cities. He squeezes it out of people's lives. I don't have time to pray. I got to get to work. I got to do this. I got to do that. What has he done? He has squeezed you, and you didn't even see it coming. You haven't even seen what he's doing while he's squeezing. Hey, listen, if he squeezes prayer out of you, he will squeeze it out of your children. If he squeezes the word out of your life, he will squeeze it from your children. He has taken the Ten Commandments. What's he done? Put the squeeze on them. Now let's get it out of our public places. Thank God it's still in a few. But he's squeezing as hard as he can. How about the sanctity of life? Been squeezing that for years. We thought we had a victory on it. Looks like it's trying to turn back. Why? Because he flipped out. He bit its prey and then he tossed it back and forth. He's a twisted. You know, that poor little group called Twisted Sister. Why would they want to be called Twisted Sister? I don't want to be a Twisted Sister. I don't want you to be a Twisted Brother. We can't let this thing twist us, church. How about, you know, he's twisted the bonds of marriage, the sacred bonds of marriage. Just redefining things. He squeezed the respect of God out of our culture. Anything that he could do to our cultural traditions. I mean, America has some beautiful traditions. I mean, they're just, and they were just horrible. I'm not talking about religious traditions. And some of those are even good. But any place that he could put the squeeze on, squeezing any place that he can squeeze, getting all the good out of it he can. You know this is true. Our forefathers used to be able to speak freely. Presidents, they could pray, they could talk about God. Trump still does. He'll still bring them up. He don't care what they do to him. But they could speak freely. But today, NFL players, politicians, movie stars who pray or mention Jesus, they're condemned. They're talked about like they are the scum of the earth. What is that? That old Python spirit, that twisting spirit. And yet you can curse. You can crawl into bed with anybody you want while the TV is on in some people's living rooms watching that. Okay, he slips in wherever he can get in, and a lot of God's people haven't even noticed he's there. My. Now, I'm not going to name this woman, but you'll know who she is because she's not worthy to be on the same page with this message. But she's on that TV show called The View. Here's what she said. I didn't see her say it on the news. I read it. She said, "I want my AI. I want my AI, but I just want it without Jesus." I thought, you poor twisted sister. No, not sister. I want my AI, but I want it without Jesus. Are you serious? See, they don't even know they're living without him, but they'll know very soon. When Jesus takes this Leviathan down, everybody's saying, nobody can tame this crazy woke place. Oh, no, who can tame this culture? I'll tell you who can tame it. God can. And he'll just have to slip in with his sharp sword and his strength and his glory. And that's how he will do it, church. That's just how he'll do it. One president, I've got a little book of quotes at home. He said, "We have spent billions of dollars as a nation to find what has happened to the glue that held this nation together." That was written years ago. I thought, if that poor man was living now, to see where it is now. One president wrote, "We call evil good and good evil." Listen to this. "We have forgotten how to blush." Isn't that amazing? I think that's true. Who blushes about anything now? Things used to embarrass you. Get a red face. After you see it all, hear it all. I'll tell you what, though. He tried to squeeze Jesus, but that didn't work. It just backfired right in his face. Which, hallelujah, takes us to this next place. This is why I wanted to talk to you about. Let's just settle. Let's, church, just settle down in the vineyard. All right? All right, here we go. Okay, in verse 27... Chapter 27, verse 1, it said, "In that day the Lord." Right? Look at verse 2. "In that day, sing to her." There he was talking about Israel. Here he's talking about his people all over Israel, us, the people of God. "Oh, in that day I heard him very plainly, sing to her. A vineyard of red wine." Look at this. "I, the Lord," nobody else, "I, the Lord, will keep it. I water it every moment. lest any hurt it. I keep it night and day. Fury is not in me. Who would set briars and thorns against me in battle? Who would do that? He says. I want to say, Lord, America is. America sets thorns and briars right in front of you. He said, but you remember this. Fury is not in me. Who would set briars and thorns against me in battle? I go through them. I just go right through them. I would burn them together. Or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me. And he shall make peace with me. Those who come, he shall cause to take root in Jacob. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with what? With fruit. He says, when I deal with this thing, see, every day he deals with this with us. We live in his vineyard. But we've got to know that we live in this great vineyard of wine. When you look at a vineyard, John, I think, is chapter 15 down to about verse 15, says that he is the vine. He is the vine, and we are the branches. So we are just connected. He's the vine. We are the branches. And the branches gets its nourishment from the vine. And he said, I do this myself. When God says, look, I, it means he himself. The Lord says, in that day, now you sing to the people of God. A vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, will keep it. I will keep this vineyard I put you in. I kept Adam and Eve until they walked away from me. They had a garden and I kept it. And then I told them to keep it. Yes, he did. I, the Lord, will keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I keep it night and day. I will keep it. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm being kept. I'm not seeing anything right now. Well, let me sing to you. Remember that little song? Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Stop. You never stop working. You never stop. Never stop. Believe it, church. Believe it. Yeah, I don't care how it looks in your life. I don't care how bad your life has been squeezed. He's trying to squeeze the life out of it. And you've got to remember the book of Revelation talking to the church in chapter 2. He said, oh, I see you have a little strength left. I see that you have a little strength. I will increase that and make you powerful and strong. Hallelujah. So we live here in this vineyard that you and I live in, and our babies and our children and our families, we all live in this vineyard together. And it is tended by God himself. He said, I'll keep the weeds out. I will keep the Leviathan out. But stay close to me now. Stay connected. Because if you don't connect with me, you'll wind up like Adam and Eve and going out there doing your own thing. And that will not work. You got to stay connected to the vine. And when you do, then he says, I'm the tender of the vineyard. Woo, hallelujah. He tends it. It's not just any piece of land, church. It's just not. But it's a picture of what God has and where he put us. And what is our relationship about anyway? It's about staying connected to him. Staying with him. You say, I don't have any more strength. I'm on my last leg. That's because the Leviathan has paid you a visit. He's pulled your strength down. He's pulled your joy down. He's pulled your faith down. When your faith starts dwindling off, let me tell you something. The Leviathan has paid you a visit. And he says, there's no one that can handle this thing. No one can handle this. And God told Job that. He said, no one on the earth can handle this, dude. But he said, Job, I'm the man. I can do this. And I tell you today, God said, oh, no, I do this. I do this, that twisted serpent. I will slay him. So he slays him in your life. He's already got you over to the vineyard. You're already there. If you have received Jesus as Lord, you're already there. So the only reason that you don't have that strength,
the peace, the joy, the wisdom is because you're believing the lies of the squeezing serpent. You're letting this alligator grab a hold of you of the spirit and just shake you all over the place and try to tear you apart. Then you begin to believe more about what he's saying than what God is saying. So you cannot allow him to squeeze this word out of you or squeeze prayer out of you, church. I was so disappointed last week, I got to tell you, or a couple of weeks ago, I heard that some of the people in the church, I believe it was this church, have been reading the Apocrypha. Like, why would you want to read the Apocrypha? You say, what is that? It's the lost books. The lost books. They never made it into the Bible. Much of it was written in those 400 silent years. The book of Revelation, the very last words of Jesus, about three verses from the very last verse, says, don't you dare add to. He that adds to the words of this testimony or this book, adds to it or takes away from it, you will have your place in a lake of fire. Those lost books are not a part of our Bible. Now, they're a part of the Catholic Church, but we're not Catholic. So you've got no right to be reading any Apocrypha, any lost books at all. Maccabees 1, Maccabees 2, Maccabees 3, none of it. None of it. So he said, you add to it, you get a place in the lake of fire. Church, I'm telling you, don't let the devil, why would you want to read something like that when you've got the Bible to read? Spend your time reading the Bible. Let me go a bit farther. Jesus, John, Paul, Peter, no one in the New Testament quoted from the lost books. Not one. And Peter said, if somebody comes into your house preaching another gospel than what we preach. And then it goes a bit farther. He says, even if it's an angel that comes to your house, he says, do not invite him in. But see, we're spiritual people. And we want to love everybody. And some people get so proud of themselves. Pastor, you know, I don't want to turn anyone away. And those little Jehovah's Witness women, they were walking down the road the other day with their satchels. And they walked up and I invited them in. And we sat at my table. Honey, they will listen to you. They'll listen and they'll smile. And you can give them all your word. Well, I was witnessing to them. And they'll just go home and write to Brooklyn and find out what you said. Okay. Ella G. White, Seventh-day Adventist. Founder of the Seventh-day Adventist Church said, no, it was Joseph Smith who sat under a tree, got a vision, and that's the Mormon church today. Many people believe Joseph Smith's vision. Many people believe Ellen G. White's vision. A lot of good people in all those places, but they're dead wrong. And don't you dare invite them into your house. That's what the Bible says. So I'm telling you, church, they will have their place in a lake of fire. Man, I'm telling you, we're getting on it this morning, aren't we? I'm just telling you the truth. Now, if somebody comes teaching you anything else, you say, wait a minute, let me go ask my pastor. I don't care who told you what. If it's wrong, I'll get up here and say it's wrong. Okay, if you don't ask me, then I can't tell you that. So I have to tell it up here. Okay, so if Jesus, he fed the 5,000, what did he do? The Leviathan came along, tried to starve the people to death. He fed the widow. He fed Israel. He takes care of everybody. He got water out of the desert, water out of the rock, took care of Daniel, took care of Jonah, took care of the three Hebrew children. He's just going to take care of you. So he'll slay that Leviathan that's trying to squeeze the life out of you. He'll slay him, and he'll transport you right into the vineyard, which we're already there, church. You're already there. So let God nurture you there. He will nurture you. You know what nurture means. Paul said, we've nurtured you. Paul said, me and Silas and I, we have nurtured you like a mother. We have nurtured you like a nurse. And yet Paul could just get all over them and discipline as well. But let me tell you today, church, God nurtures us. He wants us to have His wisdom, His love, His glory, His peace, His joy, His strength. He don't want our tails whipped by a Leviathan tail. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, direct our path this morning. We are going to come to your table. We're going to take a part of that vineyard. We're going to partake of your new wine. We're going to partake of your blood and of your body. And Lord, I believe you will release healing. And Lord, where a twisting has been for years in my brother or my sister, it's twisted their belief system. It has twisted their family. I pray, Lord, that there will be an untwisting. God, bring new knowledge. Help us to lock into the Word of God. Lord, help us to stay in your doctrine, in the Word of the Lord. We don't need to stray off for another place unless we need to go over there. But for us, Lord, we stay together. We stay in your Word. We stay in prayer. We stay in communion. So today, examine yourself, my brother and sister. See if you're in the faith, Paul said. See if you're in the faith. Does Jesus live in your heart? Are you in his vineyard? If not, I'm going to ask you right now, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front, but I'm going to ask you to lift your hand and then pray the sinner's prayer with me. A prayer that says, Lord, I need you in my life. Are you here today and you say, Pastor Paulette, that Leviathan has almost taken me out. I need Jesus in my life. I have never given my life to him, or I need to rededicate my life to him. I have strayed away, but I want to rededicate my life to him. Anyone? If so, just lift your hand up to the Lord. Make a confession of faith. I'm not going to call you up. I'll wait on you another minute because this is important. I see you, sweetheart. I see you both. Is there another? These young women say, I've got to make things right with God. Anyone else? Now, you don't want that Leviathan messing with you. You don't want him messing with your home. I see your hand, honey. You don't want him coming against your children anymore in America. Anyone else want to lift your hands before we pray? All right, let's pray together. Would you help me pray with these that lifted their hands? You guys, if you will pray this out loud with me now. My Father, who's in heaven, I give my heart to your Son, Jesus. He died for my sins. And he rose again for my victory. I receive him, the Lord Jesus Christ, as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you welcome these into the family of God today? Amen. Okay, now that you've examined yourself, these have made things right with God, would you come to the front, please, and get your cup. Take it back to your seat with you. Or go over to the side. Doesn't matter where you go in the church. Just take it. And we're going to come to the Lord's table. Receive his body and his blood. Remember, it's his vineyard. Remember, he's the keeper of the flame. He's the only one that can take this Leviathan down. You don't have to fear the Leviathan. You don't have to fear his spirit. You never have to fear this lying spirit. But I do want to tell you, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branch, and he who abides in me, and he will have a part with me. But he who pulls away can do nothing apart from me. We can do nothing without him, but guess what, church? We can do everything with him. Everything and anything. And the things that you will do in this lifetime, if you stay connected to the vine, believe me, we will accomplish and do things that we never dreamed possible. And you will see miracles and you will see things that will fascinate you. And you're like, where did that come from? He's the only one that can do it. And you and I are smart enough to know it. Amen? Come on, lift your bread to the Lord today, dear Jesus. We receive your body. You said, as often as you do this, remember me. So, Lord, we remember you this day. And, Lord, we take and eat your body, as you said, for our healing and for our strength. In Jesus' name, remembering you're the Leviathan killer. You killed him at the cross. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless your name. We bless your name. The Bible says, then they took the cup and they lifted it up. And Jesus was sitting there with them, and he said, as often as you do this, remember me. He said, now, I won't do this anymore with you until you come where I am. One day, church, we're going to sit at the table with him at a marriage supper, and we're going to do this, and he's going to be sitting right there. He'll say, this is my blood, my body, and we're like, oh, I get it now. Oh, Lord, let us get it now. We receive this blood of yours, Jesus, that you shed for us. Our sins were many, but they've been washed as white as snow. In Jesus' name, we're thankful. We love you, Lord. Amen. Let us partake together. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say, amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. May he be gracious to you as he turns his beautiful face over you. May he turn his countenance to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. We bless you. Pray for one another. Amen.